In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, the Easter season draws to a close. Sometimes we don't realize exactly what we've got until we're about to lose it. Easter, the time of resurrection, of renewal, of God completing his promises in Christ Jesus, of making all things new again. Yet we know that Easter never ends, because even in the dead of summer, even in the middle of Lent, we celebrate the Lord's resurrection every Sunday, and by faith in Christ, we celebrate it every day of our lives. And so we abide in the Lord because we abide in his death and in his resurrection. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And that includes you and me. It's simple, isn't it? But yet, the fullness of who the Christ is. And we worry about those who twist and pervert God's word and make the Christ into something that the scriptures definitely say he is not. A great moralist, a great teacher. Well, he was a good teacher, but if you take him just as a great teacher, you say, I don't want him teaching my children, because he's talking like an idiot. In fact, he's talking like a madman from time to time. And the same thing with the morals, because there's times when it sounds like Jesus is very strict and very judging, and the other time, well, he'll forgive darn near anything, even adultery. In fact, he will forgive anything, even murder, even his own murder. What sort of a madman does that? No. If you confess that Jesus is the Christ, then you confess with the creeds that he is true God and true man. You confess that he came to earth in the womb of the virgin, that he was born a natural birth, that he was raised up as every other human boy child is raised up, that he ate, that he drank, that he slept, that he wept, that he laughed, and that he died. And then that he rose again, which is not every ordinary human child, boy or girl. And even in his death, that he died not because of his sin, but because he carried your sin, my sin, the sins of the world upon himself. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ believes that Jesus is the one who was promised to Abraham when he heard that through him all the nations would be blessed. Was promised to Jacob. And then Jacob sent that promise on through his children, and he blessed Judah. From you the scepter will not depart. Talk about a madman speaking. There were some 70, 80 people in the entire family. And he's already talking about a kingdom that has no end. Because this was the Lord speaking through him. And in that tribe of Judah. And then the Lord started reaching out and gathering people to him. If you believe that he's the Christ, you believe that his family tree is hardly spotless. There were adulterers, there were murderers, there was that strange thing of this aforementioned Judah ending up having a child with his widowed daughter-in-law. A child then who would be the one who would carry the seed forward. There was the bringing back in of the people of Moab, children of that sinful relationship that one of Lot's daughters had with her father, as Ruth came into the household of faith, the household of Israel, the household of the promises and the prophets. Why were the Jews so astonished then at the time of Peter Because the Christ had to be like this. This was the family tree that God had set up for him. His greatest grandfather, according to all the genealogies, would be David. And David committed adultery and conspired to commit murder. His hands were just as bloody as those who actually put Uriah to death. It goes all the way back to Adam. And he willingly took that family tree, the tree of the one who ate from the tree, the tree of the ones who murdered one another, who lied to one another, who cheated one another, who schemed and plotted against one another, while at the same time trying as hard as they could to do as little as possible. Laziness, slothfulness, greed, gluttony, you name the sin, they all belong to the Christ's family. But yet none of those sins were his by nature. But he took them as his own. And he took the blame on them as his own, that he might pay for them, so that he could reconcile not just the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not just those people who had crossed the Red Sea and seen the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, not just those people who were given the promised land and saw Jericho fall and finally moved up into Jerusalem, not just those people that David is their king, but all people. Christ took all of humanity to himself that he might redeem all of it. And he asks then for the response. In fact, he just states what the response is. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. It's a church thing. It's a family thing. And on Mother's Day, it's nice to remember family. And to be here under God our Father, gathered with our mother, the Christian church. The nurture that we receive here and the provision that we receive from above come together. And by this, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever. And this is the kind of love, the Jesus kind of love that we have a hard time with. Not the, oh, you're so wonderful to me, you make my heart go pitter-pat, but, oh, what a nasty diaper, I'm going to change that thing right now. And I'm not going to make a big deal of it. And I'm not going to brag that it was the worst diaper ever, and I'm the greatest dad ever for doing it. Or the most wonderful mother, because my child threw up on me all night long, but yet here I am in church, smiling and praising the Lord. Not a bragging love, not a boasting love, not a love because we get to love, but a love because we are loved. And everyone who loves the Father, who knows the Father's love, loves this way. The caring, the sharing, the growing together. Sometimes we take it for granted with these people who sit beside us, in front of us, and behind us in the pews. With a guy who usually stands up here, who looks down to you. Not down on you, because he realizes, as I do also, that we are poor, miserable sinners. We are the lowest of the low. We are the worms and not men. And yet, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and we believe that he carried our sins with him to the cross, and we believe that God has then brought us together in communion, in the household of faith, birthed us in our church, in our mother, that this day and all days we might celebrate this family that we have. John uses the language of birth with the water and the blood here, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. The commandments that are spoken of here are not the burdensome commandments of what you've got to do, but rather we are commanded to be the children that God has made us to be. Simply to love, simply to care, simply to do the right thing for the right reason without counting the cost. Now that's not so simple, is it? And that's why we keep running back to Jesus is the Christ. Because he's the one who forgives us when we simply fall down on the job. When we simply will not or cannot do the loving things that God calls us to do. Because everyone who has been born of God overcomes. But we don't overcome by our own reason or strength. We overcome the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Not our works, not our deeds, but our faith. And our faith goes back again to Jesus is the Christ. Incarnate, suffered, died, rose. Our faith is the faith. It's not how strongly I believe, but in whom I believe. God the Father Almighty and His only Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I believe that God has called me to be His own, to love me, to embrace me, to heal me, to restore me, to rejuvenate, and finally to resurrect me. I believe these things because I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I did not come to that by my own reason or strength, as the explanation to the creed so wonderfully tells us, but the Holy Spirit, named here specifically by John, calls us by water and the word to be Christ's own, names us. Not only I baptize you, blah, 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 but in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This loving God places His name on you and claims you in His name and gives you then that as your family name. And our faith that Jesus came, suffered, died, and rose is our victory over this world. It's our victory over our inability to completely love one another, to serve one another, to care for one another. Not only to wake up in the middle of night and take care of some sickness down the hall, but to do so gladly. That's where we trip up a lot of times. We will do it as a burden and as an obligation, but not always as a joy and as a privilege. But where we fall short, the Lord has already fulfilled. As the author of Hebrews says, He went to the cross for the joy of it. Not for the happiness of it, but for the joy of doing His Father's business and for the joy of saving us, poor, miserable sinners. Of making us His brothers and sisters in faith, by water, by the word, by the shedding of His blood, and by the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. And still in water we are born, and by His blood we are given life as we stay in the church, as we stay in faith in Christ Jesus. This is the victory. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And the Christian says, well, that's a dumb question. Nobody. But I believe, you believe, we believe. God has pledged Himself to us in our baptisms, and we weakly, fitfully, and not always completely, pledge ourselves back, not only in voicing the creeds, but in living the creeds in our lives, in showing the world, and especially each other in the household of faith, that we are the ones who were paid for with the life of Christ, and that the people that we meet, that the people we love, likewise were ransomed by Christ and have the same worth, the same value as His life, His body, and His blood. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not the water only, but the water and the blood. Jesus baptized for us. Jesus bled out for us. Jesus anointed by the Holy Spirit, who then sent that Spirit to anoint others, to bring them to and keep them in faith. Faith in Him who is the Christ, risen from the dead, living to all eternity, our prophet, our priest, our king, and our judge, who we know has already decided in our favor and said, not guilty, come to me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.